One of the central tenets and claims of feminism, no matter what the variety, no matter who you ask, is that women historically, and even prehistorically in some instances, have been oppressed, and not just oppressed, but systematically oppressed by men en masse, and more specifically, by way of the directives of so-called patriarchy. And the reason why women were not able to do many things, not able to achieve many things, not able to work certain types of jobs, essentially not able to do the things that they wanted to do, was solely because of male oppression directed towards women. Men prevented women from doing these things, and it's been a long time coming. And now it's claimed that women, at least to some degree these days, have achieved their freedom, although, of course, the monsters of patriarchy, masculinity, and misogyny still lurk out there, and they are still major obstacles in the way of feminism and feminist goals and women's goals on the whole. Now, in light of all this, I've always asked myself, and something that has always puzzled me, I was always in a state of wonder and bemusement concerning this, was this notion of female agency. Because according to feminists, according to feminist doctrine, according to just basically mainstream standard thinking, the reason why women didn't have agency in the past was because men actively oppressed them. They prevented women from doing the things they wanted to do, and indeed, as an extension of the patriarchy, didn't want to share power. And of course, men are also hurt by patriarchy too. That's a famous one. So basically, due to the machinations of patriarchy and the men who are concocting the patriarchy and engaging in and participating in it, that's why women had no agency. And that's why they couldn't do stuff in the past. That's why you just don't see a lot of achievements on the part of women, solely and strictly because men prevented them from doing these things. Now, on the face of it, if you've never taken any time to investigate this or observe reality, you might be taken in by these claims. But here's the reality. I don't think women are nearly as agentic on average as men are, typically. Now, most of you are aware of this already, and I don't think this is going to be a mystery to you, but when I look at the world at large, when I look at Western society, I see quite the opposite of agency. I see essentially an extension of former times, but with added stuff. So, for example, we've seen in the course of the late 20th century and the early 21st, the disbanding of, say, the Boy Scouts, but the retention of the Girl Scouts. So you can basically join the quote-unquote Boy Scouts as a girl. You cannot do the same thing as a boy when joining the Girl Scouts. You've seen the emergence of all-women gyms. You've seen the emergence of bursaries and scholarships and stipends exclusively for the sake of women. And you've seen schools transformed into systems that largely support a female style of learning and a female style of behavior. You've basically seen a near total conversion of systems that used to be more even-keeled and balanced into an overwhelmingly majority female-dominated way of thinking and doing things. You have that. And I want you to think about the concept of female agency in the context of what I've just described. Basically, preventing men from doing things, giving women tremendous advantages over men, creating and recreating new environments that either prevent men wholesale from participating or make it very difficult for men to participate in such instances. And this is what we call female agency, basically. And despite that, you still see a paucity, a shortage of women in many different fields, you know, the eternal concern and claim that there are not enough women in STEM. Although, of course, even 10 years ago in 2015, a woman in the U.S. was 50% more likely to get hired for a science position compared to a man. That is female agency. It seems to me, at the end of the day, female agency is basically wrapped up in loading down men with rocks, essentially, to use a metaphor. To explain the metaphor in a little bit more detail, imagine a hypothetical where you have a bunch of men that are given a backpack, a sack of rocks that weighs some incredible amount of weight. Take your pick of how heavy it is. And the women remain free of any and all weight. They only have to move their body weight. And they have to engage in a long-term marathon. Now, in some instances, given the very heavy weight in the sack of rocks that the men have to carry, well, some of the women are going to surpass the men in this instance. And they will, quote-unquote, win the marathon. But there are also instances, despite the weight of the rocks and the sacks on their backs, that the men still do better at the marathon than the women. So it's a mixed bag. But the expectation here essentially is we're supposed to accept at face value that female agency consists of loading down men's backs with sacks of rocks and then having no such rocks themselves to carry, exceeding men in certain enterprises and doing better than men on a broad scale throughout society. Now, maybe it's just me, but that doesn't strike me as particularly agentic. I don't really like the word agentic. It's this word that's been bandied about in recent years. You'll constantly hear people such as Chad Williamson use the word, my subscribers are agentic people. And I don't like the word because I think it's a bunch of bollocks ultimately, but it's a useful term for the purposes of this video. So it seems to me, again, that female agency, by and large, entails loading men down with all kinds of hindrances and then saying you're better or you can do better. And despite many of these hindrances, when we look at the most outstanding people in many different fields and in sheer terms of achievement, it still seems to be men doing the heavy lifting. Now, of course, the go-to response for this is going to be patriarchy, misogyny, men are still oppressing women. There's never any explanation other than that in the eyes of people that identify as feminists and people who think along these lines, which, by the way, counts a lot of normies and a lot of normal folk among them. But to me, that's what seems to be the case. Now, the other day, I was talking to a friend about a particular phenomenon, something I brought up before on the channel, and that is the notion of women's participation in social media, and specifically in entertainment, films, and even more specifically, games. You see, I've talked about this before, it is very much the case that women are bothered by attractive pixels, i.e. attractive women being portrayed in video games. That is, non-existent animated characters in video games that you can play or look at or interact with. Many women are upset by this. They're bothered by it. They don't like it. Now, for the longest time, I was puzzled by this. For the longest time, I was in a state of incredulity, and I'll tell you why. I simply could not grasp at the deepest level why women might, in fact, feel a legitimate sense of insecurity and envy towards women that don't exist in video games and other alternative media, because I don't get that feeling when I look at men, and I'm sure you don't either, and it's just fiction at the end of the day. And it took me a very long time to fully grasp a certain reality, and that is that women, if you ever looked at their fiction, for example, the things they enjoy, their smut, it's chock-a-block full with delusion and fantasy. And I don't mean the male equivalent of wanking off to the idea of some huge gazonked female. I mean all the little details. The man has to fit certain criteria. He has to do this. He has to act a certain way. All this stuff. And you'll see women arguing with men online saying that the men online, the real men that exist in reality, can't hold a candle to the fictional men that don't exist in their smut fiction, as an example. And so it took me a long time to understand that oftentimes women cannot distinguish between what's in their heads in terms of fantasy and what is fictional outside of their own heads. It's kind of a through line that doesn't really end. And this is yet another instance, to my mind, of a distinct lack of agency. If you can't distinguish between the real and unreal, if something that simply does not exist in reality, a hot bunch of pixels on a screen, really upsets you and bothers you, does that strike you as especially agentic? If you need to prevent men from doing things, shutting down their clubs, their organizations, their gatherings, if you need to actively be hostile towards men and the things they enjoy, if you need to get extra help in the form of stipends, in the form of bursaries, in the form of government aid, if you need to basically hinder the other sex or gender in order to be agentic, and you still are not displaying the much prophesied agency that was allegedly suppressed during the time of the patriarchy in the past, when patriarchy was even stronger than it is now, allegedly, then, I don't know, call me weird, call me strange, that doesn't strike me as agentic. I think, in conclusion, ultimately, and this might seem odd to you, or maybe not, that I will call a spade a spade. I don't think women on average are as quote-unquote agentic as men. They have a very different psychology. They are much more concerned about their security, They're not going out there taking risks like men do. That's a big part of it, right? Men are less risk averse than women. There are all kinds of factors that go into this cornucopia of reasons why men on average appear to be more agentic. And frequently, the only way women seem to be able to match men in many instances, not all, but in many instances, is again to load men down with sacks of rocks, i.e. introduce direct hindrances in terms of government, in terms of academic hindrances, in terms of just life obstacles to prevent men from doing what they otherwise would have done. That seems to be, to my mind, what counts as typically female agency. Now, are there exceptions? Sure, there always are. But I don't think the exceptional woman is the woman that was selected for. The woman historically and prehistorically, in terms of sexual selection, in terms of mate value, that was selected for was the security-obsessed, meek woman who would complain to her husband to make sure things got done, but herself showed very little agency. Well, we can look at the landscape of society and the world. We know that most women are more risk-averse, they're more security-obsessed, they tend to complain a lot more than men, and they're less willing to do things that men are willing to do. So we see that is the phenotype of woman that has been selected for, not the agentic woman. So I have to call into question this whole notion of female agency. If the requirement of so-called agency is basically tearing down the other sex and creating all sorts of artificial barriers and obstacles towards the other sex, and concomitantly aiding the one sex, women in this case, in every conceivable way in order that they might achieve things and do things, that doesn't strike me as agentic. That strikes me, to be perfectly blunt, as the opposite of agentic. But anyway, that's my take. I've always thought this was a very weird thing about feminism, because when we look at the current year, so to speak, in mid-2025, it doesn't seem like women are that much more agentic than they used to be. Sure, to some degree, but on average, you're basically seeing the same patterns repeat themselves. And why? Because we are human apes, and we don't change that quickly at the end of the day. But as always, thank you for tuning in. Many special thanks to my very generous patrons on Patreon and my generous donors on PayPal. You guys are the best. Without you, this channel simply could not exist. Thank you so much. And if you can engage in the usual YouTube jazz of liking the video, sharing the video, leaving a comment, subbing if you're not yet a sub, it's much appreciated. If I'm still alive, I'll check you out next time. Until then, may the gods truly watch over you. Bye-bye for now. If you liked this video, please like, share, and subscribe. And if you enjoy my content, please consider making a donation or becoming a patron. Thanks for watching.